So this is from Matthew 21, starting at verse 33. So in relation to servants and what have you. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press and in it and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Now, when the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir, come. Let us kill him and seize his inheritance." So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to the nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Yeah, so just caught my attention about how that there's this process of a need to have the senses brought into order so that they function in the way that they are designed to do. And it's not that, because there's a statement in here about the fact that it's not the sensory impressions themselves that are the issue. It's the reasoning or the conclusions that are drawn from it. And I mean, the big thing for me that keeps coming through as I go through this is the, well, I suppose if I kind of divide it, like there's a sensory self and there's a rational self that's kind of just for want of a working structure. And the sensory self is that which separates us from the Lord. And how it does that is through a whole range of false beliefs. So it's a conceptual separation, not an actual one. From the Lord's perspective, he is always omnipresent. But certainly from our perspective, there's this separation that can occur. Because when you think about it, if the Lord is in mind, you're not going to claim life as your own. It doesn't happen. So there has to be a way for the sensory self to draw a separation between itself and the Lord. And it does that through making the appearances of the sensory level its truth, as opposed to the word. So the rational self is not us. The rational self is it's also described in other places as conscience. So, and conscience, a true conscience, in the human mind is the presence of the word, is the Lord himself. So a rational self is seen when, I've seen many times actually through what people shared, you know, every time a truth gets traction and adjusts our perspective or perception, that, and in that there's a recognition and acknowledgement of the Lord as the only life, that's rational. Because it's true, it's how it actually is. To see it otherwise is insane, and that's something that the sensory reasoning is insane, because it's in denial of the reality, and that is that there is a God, and that God is the only one self and life actually. So in the story from Matthew's gospel, you know, when the son is sent, which is when truths are come to that sensory to enlighten it and reclaim what is the Lord's, that level of proprial life looks to destroy it for its own ends, for its own, to take possession of what is the Lord's. So for itself, and that's what the nature of self is apart from the Lord.